Now you do.
Yeah, three or four dancers from Cuba, Mexico.
Are you just having
France.
A blast? So just, I know
this
it just works.
Best job in the world. I mean, we just got back touring China.
Unbelievable.
Before that, we did a U.S. tour and then India. So it's been nonstop for the last 8 months.
8 months. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You were born in L.A. Were you?
Sunsets and walks on the beach and. Oh.
Okay. Are you single? Let's get to all the good stuff. Do you have pets? We know you don't because you're traveling. You can't have pets.
Yeah, it's tough. It's, yeah. But no, we love it. We're like a band of gypsies out there.
So fascinating. How romantic, no?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. Now you're trying to have an accent.
I can have an accent if I want to. But you were raised in L.A. Where you're a street performer. I mean, really, I think it's amazing.
I was born in the Midwest.
Born in the Midwest.
But, you know, I had dreams of becoming a rock star.
Well, like, thank God you got out of the Midwest. Look what's going on there now.
I know. It's really sad. So you either move to New York or L.A. Of course, I wanted warm weather.
Yes, and bikinis and stuff and the beach.
That didn't hurt either.
Young. So you started performing on the streets of L.A.?
We did. No one would hire us. And so I just wanted to have fun again and play music. So
yeah.
We just went out. We actually set up in front of a coffee shop. They said we could perform there for free. And we did. And people kept coming up to us and saying, do you have a CD? This is really cool music. You know, this was like 1999.
Yeah.
And
not that long ago.
Yeah. It's gone by fast. So I put together a CD. We started selling that. I couldn't make them fast enough.
Wow.
And it just started to snowball.
Really? And then people started hiring you. And then you started working the clubs?
We just started performing all over Southern California. Like every day of the week, we would perform at some festival or a street fair or farmer's market. And then the tourist areas like Disneyland and Universal. And then I rented out my own theater.
You rented out your own theater? How'd you get your own theater?
Well,
you're a street musician, got your own theater now.
That's exactly what the theater manager said.
Yeah, how do you do
what
this?
What are you doing? I didn't know if I was going to sell one ticket or, you know, sell out.
Okay, so what you decided was you wanted a place to perform your own at your place, sell your tickets, get your chairs up, and
exactly. That's
what you did.
You know, on the streets, I met some other interesting people. We met some Cirque performers. And
Cirque du Soleil?
No, they were Cirque performers, but they did the same aerial acts. Mm-hmm. And this was, like I said, 1999. This was before Cirque was really huge.
Right.
And so I thought, how cool would it be to incorporate them into my show and to have them perform to my music? And we added a ballet troupe, an orchestra. We had some African drummers. And I put it all together in this one big show.
How'd you pay them?
through the ticket sales.
Well, how did you market it?
We performed on the street every day. So we...
And telling everybody where you were going to perform that night. Wow.
Exactly.
Street marketing.
Old-fashioned.
Wow.
Shopping malls. Everywhere there were people, we were there.
That is exciting.
Advertising that show. And we sold out.
Cool. Sold out every night.
That's pretty cool.
How many performances did you do
out.
A week?
We sold out. Well, that was just one performance.
Just one performance.
2,000 seat theater.
2,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then I took that money, rolled it over into a bigger show 3 months later and a bigger one after that. We kept selling out. And then it caught the attention of PBS.
PBS. Now you're in, huh? That's where I saw you. On PBS, I told Amy.
Exactly.
I saw you. That's where I saw you for the first time. And I came for your casting call.
Sure.
I was there for a year. And I said, I first saw him. I saw him. He was fantastic. And then now, world superstar. You know, I was saying on my Facebook today that you were coming in. And I said, this is really the American dream, the way you did it.
Thank you.
The way you started out. Mm-hmm. Did you start taking guitar lessons when you were very young? Did you always know you wanted to
I always knew.
Rock star.
I knew around 11 or 12 that I just wanted to play guitar, but it was more rock and roll. As you can see by the hair, I still kept that.
It's very nice.
I kept that part of my rock and roll roots, and I taught myself.
You did just play because you just loved it.
I just loved it,
and all your friends and fans loved it, and then you decided I'm going for it.
Exactly.
What's your family think of it? How big you are now?
Well, my parents are my biggest groupies.
They are.
They follow us everywhere. They're the best.
Well, and you still seem very grounded, Ronnie. I mean, you seem very humble, even though you're a superstar now. You've got this whole big production.
Well, I think it helps to come from the Midwest. It was, you know, very hard work ethic out there to no matter what you did. And that's where I developed from my, you know, my parents and my grandparents.
Yeah, but how do you hang on to that when you become famous?
Well,
and you're not as famous as you're going to get.
You do. You have to because you see, you know, we see every day what happens when people go off the path.
How'd you stay away from the drugs and the alcohol and all the stuff that brings you down when you think you're such hot crap, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
What kept you grounded?
My roots.
Really?
My parents, absolutely.
But they weren't there with you in L.A. I mean, you can do anything in L.A. It's wide open, crazy town. That's where I'm from. I know from firsthand experience.
You know, there's just not time to do all that and still make music. I just wanted to make my own music, express myself, and I'm too focused on making the next song, making the next show, making it bigger and better.
Yeah.
That's really what I strive for.
Are you writing and do you write?
We're in the studio. We just came from the studio right now.
What studio? 505? Where? You did?
Well, we actually brought a studio up here. We're here for 10 weeks.
A studio. So. In a hotel room. The Eldorado put you up
in
and everything?
Condos, yeah.
They put you up in condos?
Right.
So how many performances are you doing through April now?
We are here through April 1st, so for the next 4 weeks.
Do you have a chance of being extended, or are you off to some new performance after that?
We're off after that.
Are you?
We have a busy schedule. We have some performances in Southern California, and I think we're going back to China this summer. So,
what's your favorite place you've been to so far?
I love Cuba.
Cuba?
I really love
Cuba. Oh, yeah, with all those Latin roots. I mean, the music, your music is so
inspiring. India was, have you been to India? So spiritual.
Have I been to Mississippi? Yes. Have I been to India? No. I know, I look worldly, but I haven't.
So you performed in India?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
We performed there about 3 or 4 times.
Did they like it?
Of course they did.
It was, yeah. Well, the last time we were there, the girls got pulled from the stage. Their costumes were a little too
skimpy.
That's kind of what I was leading up to there. Was there a problem?
That's why he was hoping the dancers were coming tonight. Yeah. They're not going to be in costume, JP. They're going to be in sweats. And
well, I wouldn't have acted towards them like you're acting towards him.
You might have. Hey, I see talent when I see it. That's all I can say.
So they pulled him off the stage, huh?
Yeah, we're performing a song, and the next thing I knew, I was there by myself.
Wow. And everyone's going, hey, we're back here.
And one of the guys came over to me and said, your costumes were just too risque.
Wow.
So what happened the next night? Or did you just have the one performance?
That was the one show in that town, Jack.
Okay, you moved on.
And yeah.
Wild. That's wild.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
So now when you go back, they're going to be dressed a little more modest.
We just won't do that number. But I should say that number is in the show tonight.
El Dorado. What time's your show?
He's got good sales.
You can see those costumes or the lack of.
We love that stuff here. Are you kidding? The more skin, the more we cheer.
You can't get in trouble in Reno.
Can't get in trouble here. We love it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. El Dorado, please go and see. Benice, take us out with some stuff. Woohoo! El Dorado, every night but Monday night. So be sure to catch him while he's here. He's an international star. Thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate you. Benice. I got my flamenco dress on today, Benice. Look. Look like I wore it just for you. We'll be back with more on Broadview.
$12.70 The Buzz.
Having financial needs? The tax season is here and the deadline is approaching. Cartlidge Cartlidge and Company started 52 years ago. They have been and still are the firm you can trust and rely on. They provide a wide variety of accounting, tax, financial management, and investment services tailor-made to meet your individual needs. Their job is to make your job easier so you can focus on what is important to you. They are the one stop for all your financial needs. Call Cartlidge Cartlidge at 826-3496. That's 826-3496 to see what they can do for you.
All right, contestants, here's your next question. How to drive in ice and snow.
Drive fast to get through it?
Wrong.
Hit the brakes hard for traction?
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Don't lose out this winter. Always take it slow in ice and snow. Make it zero fatalities on Nevada roads.
Sponsored by the Nevada Department of Transportation and aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Broadview on 1270 The Buzz, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
And we're back. Wow. Benici, wasn't he great?
That's a cool story. It's an inspiring story.
It is very, very inspiring to know that you can start out with only dreams and aspirations and stick to it.
And work. Let's not forget the work. I mean, he's hard willing work. To go out and do street performances trying to fill the theater he rented. I mean, that's a cool
Isn't
story.
Isn't that amazing?
That's America right there.
That's America. That's the American dream right there. That's what you can do when you stick to it.
Right.
And you don't get swayed like he hasn't by the opportunities of women, wine, and you know.
It's like you and this show. You're not giving up control of the show.
That's right, baby.
Same story,
Don't you
Jay.
Forget it. I know it.
And my website. True. Come on.
Yeah, and your website, jpattitude.com. Let me get that in.
That's right.
Yeah, it was very nice of him to stop by. Please catch him if you can before he goes, because it is, could you believe the guitar? I mean, it's just, he's so talented. He's just played it every day of his life.
You probably thought that was a weird question about his fingernail, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Well,
classical guitarist. Gosh. I thought he was going to be a classical guitarist, and they have this long fingernails. If their left hand is on the, it would be
Fret.
On the right hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be the right hand that used the fingernails.
God, they have to be hard. I mean, it would be breaking. Yeah. Yeah, no, I was surprised that his fingers were so huge. He had big hands.
Jay, well, you just.
Big hands.
Gosh.
He's a nice
well, they
guy.
Were. I mean, for a flamenco player, you know, I mean. Right?
Yeah. He's a nice guy off the air, too. I just wanted to say that. He was
humble.
Sitting here in the studio talking to us.
And, yeah. Very humble, very great guy, and a wonderful show. I can't wait to go see it. I have seen the publicity on it, though, and everybody that's gone that's told me, oh, you have to go. It's just phenomenal. Beautiful costumes, wonderful music, and he's talented. They all are. And he still has a guy with him. I was hoping he'd bring him today that played with him on the streets.
Okay.
And he's still with him.
Is he a guitarist too or
he's
something
an
else?
Awesome guitarist in the company. Yeah. And some of his dancers were with him down there that started in the theater. So he has a lot of loyalty to him too. So catch it at the El Dorado if you can. I thought this was pretty interesting. We were talking about politics and we didn't talk really about the unemployment problem.
Okay.
But right. I did see this online that was pretty amazing. Abbott Costello, solve the unemployment problem.
This will be good.
This is good. Okay. I was hoping you'd do one part or the other.
But we only have one copy. How are we going to...
Amy, is she down with Benici?
Yeah, she's otherwise occupied.
We'll
she
never get
followed
her back
the guitarist out of the building.
Followed him out to
she's
make
gone.
Sure he was safe.
She left her purse and her phone here. She didn't care about that.
Of course.
Well, there she is. She came back.
Come here for a minute. Well, have you got a minute? Look at her. She,
oh, my God.
Well, you don't see it every day like that. When there's so naturally.
You see it every Saturday when I'm in here.
Oh, my God.
Not.
Right out of the shower, very naturally. This is an Elvis Costello thing that we want to do to take the show out. I didn't make a copy.
Next week, I'm coming with wet hair.
Oh, please, don't. That is not going to turn me on, okay? JP with wet hair.
He looks like a porcupine when his hair's wet.
More cats. No, but talent just shines. Yeah, he is young, innovative. And can't talk enough about him.
Okay, I can't do the young thing, that's true.
No, I know, but you're experienced. You have that experienced gray mane.
When you can remember stuff, too,
Silver.
It's helpful.
Yeah. Was there anything else on your list that we didn't get to today that you want to talk about before
I
we do the unemployment?
I thought you might be interested in this because you're a music person.
Okay.
And I'm a politics person.
Ted Nugent?
So Ted Nugent endorsed Mitt Romney.
He
what
is
do you think about
something
that?
Else. Ted Nugent. Well, who else was he going to Santorum? Who else
know,
was he going to endorse? He's born the day before my birthday.
Really?
Ted Nugent. Mm-hmm.
You know, Ted
Sagittarian.
Nugent is smart. Have you ever listened to him talk?
He is militant.
Very intelligent, yeah.
He is militant, that man.
Oh, when it comes to guns,
oh,
you mean.
Oh, Lordy,
yeah.
Yes.
Don't
I mean,
take his gun.
He's packing. He's always packing, and everybody around him is packing. Yeah, he's very bright. He also was another entertainer that stepped aside from the drugs and the addictions with his music. And... became very politically involved, and he's very smart, very articulate.
And outspoken, yes.
Outspoken, but yet he doesn't try to bombard anybody with
and
his opinions.
And he's from my state, so maybe, you know.
Oh, now it's your state.
Maybe I can call him sometime and say, hey, Ted, this is Jim from
Michigan. Hey, Ted, Jim from Michigan.
Maybe you'll come on Broadview.
Yeah, let's polish our guns together. Boy, he can play some rock and roll. Remember Cat Scratch Fever?
Yeah.
That was amazing. All right, now here, we have it. We're going to solve the unemployment problem.
Benesse left his CD for you.
Oh, my God, stop it. I'll never make it home.
Gosh,
I got to go to the show. I want to sit in front when I go. He gets people up on the stage to dance with him. Am I losing it?
Yeah, I think
I mean,
are.
I'm not a groupie. I've met, you know, Ozzy Osbourne. You know, Madonna. How can I be?
So who am I, Costello or Abbott?
Oh, you be Abbott.
All right.
Because you're the goofball. All right, Costello. I want to talk about the unemployment rate in America.
Good subject. Terrible times. It's about 9%.
That many people are out of work?
No, that's 16%.
You just said 9%.
9% unemployed.
Right. 9% out of work.
No, that's 16%.
Okay, so it's 16% unemployed.
No, that's 9%.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it 9% or 16%?
9% are unemployed. 16% are out of work.
If you're out of work, you're unemployed.
No, you can't count the out of work as the unemployed. You have to look for work to be unemployed.
But they're out of work.
No, you missed my point.
What point?
Someone who doesn't look for work can't be counted with those who look for work. It wouldn't be fair.
To whom?
The unemployed.
But they're all out of work.
No, the unemployed are actively looking for work. Those who are out of work stop looking. They gave up. If you give up, you're no longer in the ranks of the unemployed.
So, if you're off the unemployment roll, that would count as less unemployed.
Unemployment would go down, absolutely.
The unemployment goes down just because you don't look for work?
Absolutely, goes down. That's how you get to 9%. Otherwise, it would be 16%. You don't want to read about 16% unemployment, do you?
Well, that would be frightening.
Absolutely.
Wait, I got a question for you. That means there are two ways to bring down the unemployment number.
Two ways is correct.
Unemployment can go down if someone gets a job.
Correct.
And unemployment can also go down if you stop looking for a job.
Bingo.
So there are two ways to bring unemployment down, and the easier of the two is to just stop looking for work.
Now you're thinking like an economist.
I don't even know what the hell I just said. And now you know why President Obama's unemployment figures are improving.
You got it.
Oh my gosh. Does that say it all? Is that hilarious?
I like that.
I know.
Good.
I thought that was pretty cool. Fixed the unemployment problem today?
You know, I think I might have some acting chops.
Would you please stop thinking? Please stop thinking. We've solved the unemployment problem. We've solved the Rush Limbaugh problem. What else can we solve today?
I don't know if we solved that Rush. We're going to have to come back to that next week.
I know it. I got a feeling there's going to be more on that. Also, one last thing. The Trans Canada are pushing ahead with the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah.
The Canadian firm hoping to build a massive oil pipeline from Canada to the U.S. Gulf Coast announced Monday that they're going to push ahead with plans to construct the segment running from Cushing, Oklahoma to Port Arthur, Texas. And they're going to apply for federal permits to cross the border section of the pipeline. They're trying to avoid Nebraska.
To heck with Obama, right? We'll just do it anyway.
To heck with Obama. We're doing it anyway. And he may not even be in office come November. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I can only hope. Hope. We hope you had a good day with us. Thank you so much for joining us for Broadview. Thank you, Benice. We'll talk to you next week. We're out. You're listening to KBZZ Sparks Reno. And thank you for letting me be myself again.